All right. Now, as is our custom right now during the evening meeting, we're trying to include everyone in a Bible study. We have, the elders have chosen the topic of the life of Christ. And when I was asked to lead this class, I said, well, what do I need to focus on? They said, the life of Christ. So they left it wide open. And hopefully I've been able to pull myself in to make coherent thoughts and pass them on to you. But first, and this is a question for everyone, of course, I'd like to get a general census of why Jesus came to earth. Seek and save the lost. Kipton, you had your hand up. What did you want to say? So he could sacrifice himself for all of our sins. There's a lot of reasons. So let's keep ballparking. Yes, sir, Eric.
Reconcile us back to the Father.
Say that again.
Reconcile us back to the Father.
Reconcile us back to the Father. Yes. Anyone else? Yes.
Example.
Give us an example. Yes, ma'am. Yes, very good. Miss Donna. Yes, that this life can be... Yes, ma'am. To die for all the people. An example. Yes, sir. I'm sorry? To fulfill God's promise. Yes, sir.
To defeat death.
I like it. These are all good scriptural answers. I'd like to take some time to see what the Bible has to say specifically, and these are not the only passages that speak of this. I chose some that I knew would hit a broad range of reasons, but there's even sub-reasons between each one of these reasons. And so I'd like to get some volunteers to read these passages. First one is in John 6:38. John chapter 6, verse 38. This belongs to all one category, just so you know. John 6, 38. Whenever someone wants to read that, I can be patient forever, so... Okay, to do God's will. We covered that one, right? So let's write it down. To do God's will. Folks, on the worksheets, I asked for just four of them, but for the adults that may be able to write quicker, if you want to write down all these passages, four is all I ask for our teenagers and things like that to fill in on the worksheet. 1 Timothy 1:15. And someone else can start grabbing John 12, 46.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
To save sinners. We mentioned that one too. All right, John 12, 46. To be a light to the world. Hebrews 2, 14 through 17.
Merciful and faithful high priest, and think of many to God,
Okay, so there's a lot one in that one. You can say to defeat the devil, right? You could say to become like us so that he could be a propitiation for us, right? So defeat Satan and to propitiate. What does that mean? I'm sorry? Pay for, yes. Substitute, that's a good word. So I looked up propitiation, okay? Because, and this is the reason why. When I interviewed for my current job, I was told I had a poor vocabulary by a shrink. And I said, no, sir, you have a poor vocabulary. No, I didn't say that. But it didn't make me realize that I need to do a little more study reading, you know, to increase my vocabulary. So propitiation is the act of gaining or regaining favor or goodwill with someone, okay? In that definition of propitiation, we have lost favor with God. We have lost our goodwill with God. Someone has to propitiate for us so that we can regain that favor or goodwill with God, okay? Next verse, John 18:37. To bear witness of the truth. All right, John 6:51. Sum that one up to give eternal life. He's the living bread, all sufficiency, right, for our eternal life. So to give eternal life. Let's keep going. Luke 4:18-19. Did you hear all the twos in there? To proclaim the world, to heal the blind, to... It just keeps going. It's a whole list of things, okay? I can't write that all up here, so I'm going to put list. Okay? Write that passage down. Make sure you know the list. Mark 10:45. To serve... to the point of death. Next verse, Luke 19:5. I can't remember why I put that verse there. Hold on. To seek and save the lost? Verse 10, sorry.
For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost.
Boom. Why did I write 19:5? That's terrible. What kind of a teacher am I? Seek the who? Lost. All right. Next, Matthew 10:34. Ooh, to bring the sword. Before we jump into these three, any comments, questions on these? Because we're really going to focus. I actually get two Sundays. Lucky dogs. So we're going to spend a lot of time in this part. So I'd like to make sure there's no questions, concerns, misunderstandings about these other reasons that Jesus came. No? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Kiddos, why would someone bring a sword anywhere?
To kill or protect.
To kill or to protect. Kipton? If you had war, you would. Take it to war, right? Are we in a war with Satan? You better believe it. And he's pulling out big weapons too. He wants to take us down no matter what. Yes, sir.
When you think of the Matthew 10:34 account that I believe Sister Lee is referring to, Jesus comes to bring a division between loved ones at times. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God even brings division among family members.
That's right.
Those who want to follow God, those who don't, it brings a division. It cuts.
It does. It does. Yes, sir. Eric.
Where it says that he heals the blind, so I can say that I'm healed of the Lord.
There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These physical ailments that hit us in these earthly bodies are going to be all gone. We won't grow old. We won't feel pain. We won't have blindness, deafness, mute. You know, none of those things exist in heaven. It's perfection, the epitome of perfection, beyond our comprehension. Any other comments or questions? That's right.
And so it would have been a dead message.
Would have been.
Because it's all about death. Yep. By Jesus coming, he sets everyone at liberty because he overcomes that death problem that was so prevalent and reminded of in the Old Testament.
That's right. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to the last three passages. Daniel 2:44-45. Isaiah 2:1-3, and Luke 1:28-33. Daniel 2:44-45. Who has that one? Yes, ma'am. Told about a kingdom, right? Turn over to Isaiah 2:1-3.
Thank you.
All right, these two prophets, Isaiah and Daniel, they're speaking of a kingdom, something that is coming soon. It's like it's a preview, right? How do we know if a prophet is a good prophet or a bad prophet? If it comes true. If it comes true. If it doesn't come true, they're just liars. Right? I mean, let's call them what they are. They're liars. Joseph interpreted dreams, right? Why did Joseph interpret the king's dream? The Pharaoh's dream? God allowed him to, but why did the Pharaoh call Joseph?
Because he had been proven.
He'd been proven. And the other ones hadn't. They were always wrong. Okay? So, we have two prophets both speaking about a kingdom. Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 33.
And having come in, the angels said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, which we call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign with the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
Who are these prophets talking about? Coming to establish this kingdom. Jesus. All right. So, these three right here. I'm going to stand on this side. I'm right-handed. To establish. Temporary kingdom. Permanent, eternal, forever. Eternal kingdom. For the earth? Is it for the earth? No. It's a spiritual. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Right. It is. Yes, correct. The church, also known as the kingdom of God, very true, is on this earth. But is its foundations on this earth? No, this earth will be destroyed and the kingdom will still exist. It becomes spiritual. But here, while we're here, it is important for us to remember that the church that was established by Jesus is his kingdom. We don't know heaven yet. That's what we talked about, hope, all month long. So, thank you. Okay. Let me get my, let's talk about a kingdom by definition. And if you have a worksheet, does anyone need a worksheet? Anyone still need a worksheet? Okay, we're good. The next set of questions is, what four things define a kingdom? I need a kid to answer this one. What do you think about when you hear the word kingdom? You're not a child. So someone else can say the same answer that's younger than him. Kipton, you've already answered a few. Anyone? Danielle, what do you think about when you hear the word kingdom? Royalty, a king, right? A king. So if you're filling it in, put a king down there or a ruler. All right? What else do we think about when we think of a kingdom? I'm sorry? Set of laws. That's number two. Or it could have been number three. That's where I had it. But it can work as number two. A throne for the king, yeah. That's thrown in there. What about subjects, citizens? That, I had that as number four. So you can put it as number three, though. Territory, boundaries, right? That's the fourth one. Very good. Kipton, you got your hand up. A palace? Yeah, territory. Has a. There is a physical boundary, wall something, a river that separates it from other kingdoms, right? Very good. Well, those are citizens. He said an army, but those are citizens. That's how I'm qualifying them as citizens. I only had room for four lines. So, using those definitions, the church, does it have a ruler or a king? Yes. Kaylin, who is that king? Jesus. That's right. We just read about it. Good. Good. All right. What was the next one? Laws. What are the laws of the church? She's holding up her Bible. Very good. The New Testament, correct? Are we bound by the Mosaic Old Testament or the Old Law, patriarchal law? No. It's there for a schoolmaster, right? What was next? Citizens. Who are the citizens of the kingdom? Christians. You want to know who else? Children. Children. Right? No. Children. I'm not asking children to answer that. I'm saying that children are citizens of the kingdom. Jesus said, unless you be like one of these, right? Humble yourself like a child. He called the children to him. Okay? So riddle me this, Batman. Does a child need to be baptized? An innocent child? No. They've punched their ticket. Right? Okay. What was the next one? Territory. What, do we have boundaries to the church? That's a hard question.
The world.
The world, yeah. Physically, the whole world can be the church, right? The church is everywhere of believing Christians, right? But does that mean that everyone is in the church? Maybe I should have asked it that way. Wherever God's people meet. Obedient people, yes. But we have walls, right? The church has walls that keep people from being able to join in. Now, sometimes we don't see those walls because we can't read the hearts of men, right? We can have someone physically in a pew that is actually not in the kingdom, right? But Jesus can see that. God can see that. He has his barriers and his borders, his walls. But he has an open door policy too. He says you can't bang your head through the wall, but you can go through the door. Right? He has standards. Okay, the next question. Is Christ's kingdom earthly or spiritual? It's a spiritual kingdom set up here on earth, right? You jumped ahead, Miss Reed. No, that's good. I like communication because I'm not running out of time yet, and I almost ran out of material. Not really. I've got more. This worksheet's just a glimpse. Just a glimpse. Can anyone become a citizen of Christ's kingdom? Yes, anyone can become a citizen of Christ's kingdom. Can they do it by banging their way through the wall? No. No, they got to use the door. Okay? And we can discuss all that on a different time. I'm setting this up so that our next Sunday we can really dive in to what the kingdom looks like. Okay? Does nationality, gender, race, life's history, or ancestors limit who can be a citizen? No, it doesn't limit any of that. Kipton, does it matter that you come from a German background? No, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry? What? Russian? How great. I like their hats. What can keep you from being a citizen in this kingdom?
Yourself.
Disobedience. Pride. Kipton. Sorry? The devil, yes. He can help you stay out of the kingdom. But can the devil hold you back physically? No, it's your own choice. He just holds up the pretty fruit, right? Just like with Eve and Adam, just held up the pretty fruit. They made the choice. Well, Eve kind of dragged Adam over there. That's a joke, Bible class. Okay? But I cannot find the one that I answered, but I had some verses written down in 2 Peter, I believe. This is number two. This is the number two reason of how you're not in. We nailed the first one, making the choice to never be in the kingdom. 2 Peter, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 18 through the end of the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through the end of the chapter. This is a Bible class, so I'm not going to read it for you. Someone needs to read it.
For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution,
I'd like an adult to sum this up for our children so they can understand what this means. That's right. Did y'all hear that? It is worse for those who turn back away from Christ after they've already known Him. How do you know Christ? This is more of an adult question. How can you come to know Christ?
Studying His Word.
What about where it says, escaped the pollutions of the world? How can we escape the pollutions of the world? By giving your life to Christ. You've obeyed the gospel. Okay? You've gotten the filth off of you. You're already done with it. And then you went back. And you ate your own vomit like a dog or rolled in the mire like a pig. Right? I had a really good friend all through grade school. And he raised hogs for 4-H. And because I wanted to go fishing and do something other than play with hogs so badly, I would help him get ready for his shows. He did steers too. Steers weren't as bad, but hogs, they're terrible. You could smell them three city blocks away. They are awful things, but they make good bacon. But we would get those things cleaned up so he could take them to show. And guess what they put them in when we were done cleaning them up? A pen. They kept them out of that nastiness that they go roll around in. And that pen usually had a bunch of sawdust shavings. Because we all like the smell of freshly cut wood, right? For real, that was a routine. Plus it absorbs the stink, too. So if you left a life that you could smell from three blocks away, why would we want to go back to said smell? It's terrible. It's awful. We also have a dog right now. And I'm telling these stories more for the children, okay? Bear with me. We have a dog also, two dogs. One of them tries to eat its food so fast he vomits every time. But you want to know what he does? He goes and eats it again. It's disgusting. It's horrible. But that's what it's like. That's what Peter is telling us it's like when we return back to sin. It's disgusting. There's no other word for it. Just disgusting. Yes, sir.
I wonder about the sorrow Peter had after he denied the Lord three times. And then even after the resurrection, he was found naked in the sea, trying to hide himself from the Lord for a short period. The Lord confronts him three times. Paul rebuked him as an apostle on one occasion. And so the apostle Peter struggled, we know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guarantee it. Yeah, Peter had his struggles. It's like we have our struggles. All the apostles had their struggles, but we're told about a lot of Peter's. Yes, ma'am. Right. Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. For those who may not have been able to hear us or hear her, she was talking about the guilt that a person has to feel when they know that they've obeyed the gospel, they know they've left, and perhaps even been reached out to, right, by the congregation. They feel so much guilt. And they have to get over that guilt to return, or they may reach their destination in the wrong place, I believe is what I was, to paraphrase. She spoke it a lot prettier than I did. Better vocabulary. Okay, so we've discussed the kingdom. We've discussed that it has laws, it has a ruler, it has boundaries. It has citizens, and we focus a little bit upon those citizens and who they are, and that you're not limited on your citizenship other than through sinfulness. That's it. You either choose to continue in sin, or you fall back into sin. You can lose your citizenship. All right. Next time we'll get into more of what the citizens should look like. And that'll include some physical characteristics, because our actions can't help but produce physical characteristics. We'll get into spiritual characteristics of people. the culture that we should have, and we'll go from there. I appreciate everyone's attentiveness. Are there any comments, questions, thoughts? Yes, ma'am. The king? The queen, the crown on the head? Okay. Did you finish yours? Yeah? Okay. Good. Good. That is great. I'm glad they're going to get used. Anything else? Nate, you have anything? No, sir. No, sir. No. Rick, anything? No? Okay. All right, I appreciate your time. We'll go into a song and then be dismissed with a word of prayer.